Well, today we are again continuing our series titled, What is Foursquare? We are Dallas Foursquare Church. And the question I often get asked as a Foursquare pastor is, what is Foursquare? Why do you have Foursquare in your name? What does that mean? You know, many of us are familiar with the schoolyard game Foursquare, right? We go to that when we see that, or some of you may know the social media app. But what is a Foursquare church? Well, that's what this series is all about. And the goal is to help us better understand what it means for us to be a Foursquare church. Now, like any denomination, we have certain doctrines and distinctives that make us who we are. And that's what we've been looking at throughout this series. And so if you've missed any part of this series, I encourage you to go and to watch and listen to it online, especially if you call Dallas Foursquare Church your home. Because I believe it's important that we know and understand what we are a part of. If you're a part of this church, you should understand who we are and what we are about. Now, again, the main core of what we believe and the reason we're called a Foursquare Church has to do with a prophecy found in the book of Ezekiel, where it references the fourfold gospel of Jesus. And this fourfold gospel is where we get our four squares, right? And the four squares represent our belief that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus Christ is our baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is our healer. And Jesus Christ is our soon and coming King. And over the last 5 weeks of this series, we've talked about all four of these aspects as we've dove into some of them a little deeper than others. But we've covered these four aspects that define who we are, why we are a Foursquare church. But there are other characteristics and aspects that are a huge part of who we are as a denomination. These are characteristics that were a big part of our founder, Pastor Amy Semple McPherson, and her ministry from the beginning, many of which have become the DNA of who we are as the Foursquare denomination. And one of the characteristics that jumped out to me when I was looking closer at Foursquare and this movement is the characteristic of being kingdom-minded. We are kingdom-minded. Now, I've shared throughout this series that on the cornerstone of Angelus Temple, which is the original Foursquare church there in Los Angeles, was a plaque from day one with an inscription that I believe is still there today that says, dedicated unto the cause of interdenominational and worldwide evangelism. Now, I don't know too many denominations that pride themselves in being interdenominational, but this truth points to the reality that we are a denomination that is not about ourselves. We're not about our specific doctrine. Foursquare is the one way and the only way. That's not who we are. We are about Jesus and the kingdom of God. So we're not hung up on being a Foursquare church. We are a movement that first and foremost is about following Jesus, which means we'll partner with anyone who is seeking to follow Jesus and extend his kingdom. If you've been a part of Dallas Foursquare Church, you know that's true of us. It's why I'm so involved in the Dallas Ministerial Association, working with other pastors. It's why we pray for other churches and ministries in our community, because we know that we are better together. We know that we can be more effective and see more people come to know Jesus when we have this kingdom-minded mentality. And so the big question here is what do we mean when we say that we're kingdom-minded? What does that mean? Now, before I dive into that, I have to admit, I almost skipped talking about this aspect of Foursquare. Because if you were here back on October 1st, my wife shared an amazing message titled, The Kingdom of God is like, dot, 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 right? It was the final message in our series on the parables of Jesus. And if I'm honest, I felt a little intimidated trying to follow up that message because it was that good. It was an amazing message on the kingdom of God. But as I re-listened to her message and as I was praying and processing where God was taking me, I realized I was kind of coming from a different angle. Plus, I felt like God was saying, no, I want you to talk about being kingdom-minded. And so I figured I better be obedient and do what he called me to do. But if you missed Stacy's message from October 1st, I highly encourage you to go to watch it or listen to it as she talks about the fact that of what the kingdom of God is like. It really was an amazing message. But this morning, we're going to take a look at what it means to be kingdom-minded. And to help answer that question, I think we need to take a moment to define what we're talking about when it comes to this idea of kingdom. Because when many people hear that word, when we hear the word kingdom, we often think of institutional power, where kings and queens rule over a particular kingdom or empire. And the truth is, this is what many people expected when Jesus, the Messiah, entered our world. You see, all the disciples and followers of Jesus thought that they were following Jesus to the throne. That he was going to take back the throne of David at that time and rule the world with an iron fist. That's what many of them thought. And even more so after Jesus rose from the grave. In Acts 1:6, the disciples asked Jesus, is now the time that you're going to restore your kingdom? They thought, okay, he's risen, he's ready, he's going to restore the kingdom. Because after the resurrection, it seemed only natural to the disciples to think that Jesus would now enter the temple with all power and all the glory of a great king, where he would begin this process of restoring Israel and evangelizing the nations. But we all know that's not what happened. Instead, in just a few verses after 1:6, Jesus ascended into heaven and he left the disciples to go into all the world and to extend his kingdom. And so if his kingdom isn't this place of institutional power, if it isn't this great empire that Jesus left the disciples to rule and reign over, what is the kingdom? Well, the great pastor and theologian Dallas Willard shares in his book, The Divine Conspiracy, that God's kingdom is the range of his effective will, where what he wants done is done. The person of God himself and the actions of his will are the organizing principles of his kingdom, which means that everything that obeys those principles, whether by nature or by choice, that would be us choosing to follow him, they are within his kingdom. And so his kingdom is among us, and it's accessible to all of us right now. And if we are choosing to follow Jesus, if we've chosen to follow him, we are a part of his kingdom. And we extend his kingdom by helping others come to know him. And so this idea of being kingdom-minded is our willingness to do whatever it takes to see God's will accomplished, to see his kingdom extended. And from day one, this was the heart of our founder of Foursquare. It's who we are as a Foursquare church, as a Foursquare denomination. And there are a couple ways that we see this kingdom-minded heart play out in our Foursquare denomination. The first is this idea of being interdenominational, where we have extended hands across denominational barriers to partner with other believers to see more people come to know Jesus. It's this idea that we are better together, that we can accomplish more when we lay down our petty differences and work together to extend His kingdom. A great example of this is a story I heard on the Same Jesus podcast from Pastor Ted Vail, who is the Vice President of Global Operations for Foursquare. And on this podcast, he was talking about the fact that we have amazing stories of church planting and discipleship and healing that has happened in Niger, Africa. But the only reason we have these amazing stories is because of an interdenominational partnership with the Assemblies of God. You see, when Foursquare started to do mission work in Niger, the government there wouldn't give Foursquare a registration to plant churches in their country. But Assemblies of God had a registration. And so the Assemblies of God shared their registration with us. And they let us plant Foursquare churches under their registration. And because of the willingness of Foursquare and Assemblies of God to work together, more churches are being planted in Niger and more people have come to know Jesus. So this interdenominational mindset is the first example of how we've seen Foursquare demonstrate the heart of being kingdom-minded. Thinking outside the four squares, right? Thinking outside the box. And then the second way we've seen Foursquare demonstrate this idea of being kingdom-minded is their belief that the gospel is for all people. And one of the ways that we extend His kingdom to all people is through relationship, having relationship with all people, which means learning what it's like to have relationship with those that are not yet part of His kingdom. And it means reaching out and loving people from all walks of life. The problem is oftentimes as Christians, we like to isolate ourselves. We like to stay in our nice, comfortable little bubbles with other Christians around us, keeping our distance from the riffraff that we fear might infect us or something, whatever. I don't know what we think. It's interesting. When we were trying to move here to Dallas to plant this church, our house in Newburgh wasn't selling. But we had seen this house for sale right next to the park here in Dallas. It had a creek running through the backyard. It looked like it could be the perfect place, and we were just so excited that, man, we kept looking at that house every time we'd bring the kids to play at the park here, kind of getting them associated with Dallas. We look over at that house and imagine and dream buying that house as soon as we were ready. As soon as our house sold, we were ready to make an offer on this house. But we didn't want to look at anything and actually make any offers until our house in Newburgh sold. And one weekend we were out here at the park with our kids, and I looked over and I saw this sold sign on the house. And I have to admit, man, my heart just dropped, and I was saddened. And I heard the Lord whisper in my ear. He said, "Are you willing to give up your preferred future for what I have for you?" It's the very same words that He spoke to me when He called me from youth ministry to pastor to senior pastor. And the question is, why would I tell you this story when I'm talking about being kingdom-minded? Well, I actually shared this story as an illustration in one of my messages 2, 3, maybe 4 months after planting the church. And I was sharing that story for some reason. And after the service, someone came up to me and she said to me, "You know, you should be thankful you didn't get that house by the park, because there are all kinds of riffraff that hang out there." Now, I was a young pastor at the time, maybe a little intimidated by a strong person like this. So I just smiled and let her go on her way. And I probably saved myself some issues by not saying anything. But what was going through my head and what I wished I said to her, is that the way Jesus would have viewed these people that she was referring to? Would Jesus have stayed away from the riffraff? We know Jesus didn't. Jesus was known for hanging out with the people the world would consider riffraff. Jesus was all about relationship. And he tells us in Luke 5 that it's not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick. And so Jesus hung out with the people that needed him. He hung out with the people that no one else was willing to hang out with. He was taking his kingdom to the people that needed it most. And he calls us to do the same. This is what it means to be kingdom-minded. And Foursquare, at its core, has never shied away from this truth. Our founder, she was pretty bold. And I guess to be an immigrant female pastor in the 1920s, I guess you had to be, right? But she didn't let denominational or cultural barriers get in the way of her taking the kingdom to all people. C.H. Barfoot wrote a book. He's a theologian of today, but he wrote a book about Amy Semple McPherson and her impact on Pentecostalism in the early 1900s. And in his research, he said he believes Amy Semple McPherson was the first evangelist in modern-day America to hold integrated services in the South. Now, if you know what I'm talking about, that's a big thing. It obviously created a lot of conflict. And this was not the 50s and 60s during the civil rights movement, right? This was in the 20s, way before any of the civil rights movement had started. But Pastor Amy loved all people. And she didn't shy away from conflict. Her heart was to reach everyone, regardless of your religion, race, or background. And this stirred up all kinds of people that were upset at her. As a matter of fact, in the same Jesus podcast that I've talked about throughout this series, Pastor AJ Sobota shared about this interesting relationship that Pastor Amy had with the KKK. You see, because of these integrated services and because of the way she embraced everyone, all races, all people, there are stories of KKK showing up at her services. And there is this one account told of how these KKK, they were in the service, and suddenly they began to get up to disrupt the service. And Pastor Amy slammed her hand down on the pulpit. And she looked them in the eyes and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And afterwards, there was a newspaper reporter who took a photo after the service, because across the street at Echo Park was a pile of KKK robes that were apparently from men who had encountered Jesus in that service and left their robes behind. Now, this is an amazing story of sharing the gospel with all people. An amazing story of Pastor Amy crossed the racial and cultural barriers, how she went to all people. But then I heard a story that truly boggled my mind, and if we're honest, might ruffle a few feathers. Because I found out that Pastor Amy actually went to some KKK meetings. Apparently, they would send a car for her, and she would go. And she would listen there in the meeting, and then she would stand up and she would preach the gospel. She would share God's desire to love all people. She didn't condemn or condone what they were doing. She wasn't like, "Oh, what you guys are doing is okay. Right? No, she didn't condone what they were doing. She went and she shared the gospel with them, hoping that they would grab hold of this heart for all people. This was a kingdom-minded philosophy where she was doing integrated services to show her love for all people. And then going to KKK meetings to reach the same people that were condemning her for doing these services. And her heart was to simply see all people, everyone, come to know the truth of Jesus. And the more and more I hear about Pastor Amy, the more I realize she was a pastor that was way ahead of her time. She was committed to the kingdom, and for her, it was all about relationship. She did her best to meet people right where they were. It's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus meets people right where we're at. And again, we have to realize that as he meets us where we're at, he never tells us to stay there, right? He encourages us to leave our sin behind and follow him. Now, he gives us grace and he gives us time, and he knows it's a process that we have to go through to get from here to there. But he encourages us. He meets us where we're at, and he encourages us to come along with him on this journey of following him. And so this idea of being people who are kingdom-minded, it starts with us. Pastor Amy's desire was for people to hear the gospel, receive the gospel, and then begin to live out the gospel. And this kingdom-minded gospel, it's this holistic approach to God. Stacy talked about this in her message. And what I mean by that is that it's vertical and it's horizontal. And we find this truth in what we have come to know as the Great Commandments. In Matthew 22, some Pharisees had gathered around Jesus. They didn't like the things that he was saying, and so one of them tries to kind of test or trick Jesus with a question. So I want to take a look at that question and see how Jesus responds. It's found in Matthew 22. Verses 36 through 40. I have it to go up on the screen, I think. It says this. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So we see here the first and foremost important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. To love God with everything. This is the vertical part of our life as a believer. It's learning to love God and cultivate a relationship between us and him. When we live with a kingdom-minded attitude, we see that life goes far beyond us. As I mentioned earlier, we have this way of making life all about us. Everything revolves around us. This is why we often isolate, right? We're seeking to make our own little world better. We want our own little world to be what we want it to be. But we were created for so much more. And as we learn to love God and as we learn to seek him, God opens our eyes to see that the world is a bigger place. He opens our eyes to see all that he has for us. We get to be a part of his plan to extend his kingdom. And the more we seek to love him, the more we see his love flow through us. Which leads us to the horizontal aspect of being a believer, where His love extends through us to those around us. In John 7, 37 through 38, Jesus said this, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." As we grow in our love for the Lord, that vertical, it's this beautiful picture of God pouring into us. And it's this picture of this cup that as God pours into us, it begins to overflow. And as it overflows and as it spills over, it flows to those around us, to those that are close to us or that we come in contact with. And this overflow of God's love impacts those people that are around us, whether it's our family, whether it's our friends, our coworkers, or even the riffraff that might be around us as we go throughout our day. This is the holistic idea of being kingdom-minded. It's learning to look beyond ourselves and letting God use us to make a difference to those around us. And that means everyone around us. Being kingdom-minded means we don't let our differences keep us from loving one another. You know, over the last 3 years, and I mean it was before this, but it just seems like the last 3 years it's gotten worse. Our world has let political, religious, and racial differences bring great division, not just to the world, but even to believers. But we have to remember, as followers of Jesus, we are called to love our neighbors. And we can't let barriers, we can't let political agendas, racial barriers, whatever it may be, we can't let these things get in our way. This is one of the things I love about being Foursquare. When I look at Foursquare and who we are, I love that we have a founder that wasn't afraid to be like Jesus. She went to places that many other people would have never gone to. She reached people that many others would have never dared to reach. And she taught us values and principles that I know Jesus is calling us to live out in our world today. Are we making a conscious decision to be kingdom-minded? Are we living our lives for Jesus with this holistic approach where we're living both vertical and horizontal? Are we letting our light shine in a way that draws others to Jesus? I wanted to do an illustration today, and maybe I should have, but I thought I did it like 8-9 years ago, and I thought, oh, people would be like, oh, I know this illustration. But it's this illustration where I have this huge light up here, and I talk about being people that let our light shine. And I go through this whole spiel about, yeah, here, I wish I could turn the lights off in here, but this is big and bright, and when I turn it on, you should be able to see just how much light can affect a dark place. And so I go through this whole spiel, and then I go and I pull out the light, and I'm like, okay, be ready to cover your eyes. This is bright. And then I flip the switch, and it doesn't turn on. And then I'm like looking embarrassed and looking like I'm an idiot, right? And then I'm like, what in the world? And I follow the cord back, and I realize it's not plugged in. And then everyone's like, oh, I'll laugh. And then the reality is I did it on purpose. Because the only way we're going to shine, the only way we're going to be the light that God has called us to be, is if we're plugged into the source. And so the vertical and horizontal, we have to be plugged into Him, so that we're growing and being who He's called us to be, so that we can be His lights that shine bright, and then do the vertical where we're loving those around us and letting His light shine through us. We know that this is a part of who we are as Foursquare, and our desire is to live out the way that Jesus has called us to live. The gospel is for everyone. It's for everyone. And our desire here is to love God and love people to extend his kingdom. Amen. Will you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you are continuing to teach us, Lord. We want to be kingdom-minded. Lord, I thank you for a wonderful denomination and just a great founder and just the amazing men and women of God that we've seen through the years continue to carry out your will through our denomination. We also know it's not just about our denomination. Lord, we want to link hands with others because we're better together. And I thank you for that aspect of Foursquare, that we're not just about, we are Foursquare and got to be Foursquare. We love that we're Foursquare, but part of that is knowing that we know it's not just about us and that we want to be people that reach out and link arms with other denominations, other churches, other believers, so that we can be more effective for you and for your kingdom, Lord. And so thank you for this message this morning. I just pray that you would allow each of us, Lord, to hear what you want us to hear, to speak to us and to have our ears and our heart open to receive what you want to speak to us as individuals today. What is it that we need to receive from this message? What is it that you're speaking to us? How can we begin to be challenged to change and to seek you and to live the life that you've called us to live? Lord, we're imperfect people. We're going to make mistakes. But are we continuing to do our best to pick ourselves up when we fail and keep seeking you? That's what it's about, Lord. And so, Lord, help us to be kingdom-minded. Help us to look outside our own little world and to realize that there's a whole world out there that you've created and your desire is to see everybody come to know you. And so help us learn to walk in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control as we love and care for those around us, Lord. Let your river flow through us and out to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.